9/11. It's the 15 years since the terrorism act in New York City. My own heart this morning, just as the praise team opened up with "Blessed Be Your Name," that Matt Redman wrote that song in 2002, and it came in the aftermath as the Lord just stirred in his own heart and life the event in New York City in 9/11/2001. We want to remember those who still carry the wounds and the scars of that day. But Diane's going to come in just a moment and read Scripture. Before she does, I'd like to lead us in just a short prayer as we come to the reading of God's Word this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we want to say that Your written Word has become our delight. We praise You for revealing Your truth to us in it and through it, the promise that's to us that when it's even read publicly, You're going to speak to us. And we pray You'd bless Diane now as she reads and help us to listen to the voice of the Spirit in her words as she reads Your holy Word. Challenge us and refresh us. Direct us, God. Instruct us as together we meditate on Your Word and set us apart for Yourself, for Your truth. Your Word is truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Diane?
Good morning. This morning we're going to be reading from the book of Isaiah 58. Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament times about 2,700 years ago. I have trouble thinking that far back, but way back, B.C., before Jesus. And the northern kingdom of the Israelites fell to the warlords called Assyria. And Assyrians took them into exile. We talk about refugees now, but they took him into exile, means you couldn't come back, you know. And they wouldn't allow them out. They were stuck there. So a better term, if you ask me, would have been captives. And they longed and hoped for the deliverance from exile. And as we sang earlier with the praise team to build it back, the restoration of Jerusalem that had been kind of demolished in the conquest. So they had problems. And Isaiah, the prophet, was the prophet of God, and he spoke the word of God. And chapter 58 is one of his messages from God about false and true worship. As Jesus would say, if you have ears to hear, listen up now, because Isaiah is giving us, and he's quoting, the word of God. Isaiah 58. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. And remember, this is God speaking. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke, Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Diane. One of the things that I value very highly about our church family, about you, is that you're followers of Jesus who really, I'm glad you do this. You take it upon yourselves in ways you probably don't even realize, but to push and prod me to be a more faithful and more biblically grounded follower of Jesus. And one of the groups that have been doing that through the course of the last year is the Refugee Sponsorship Group. And you're going to hear from one of those people in just a moment, but there are others, and I wanted to start off by simply saying thank you. Because today, what I'm going to say, albeit brief, is largely because of them. The way that they have awakened my own heart and spirit to what's really a core biblical action of faith, of what it means to follow Jesus. Can we have the picture up on the screen, please, Liam? You see the family of six that really the initiative for that came from within this congregation. And Brenda Marriott from the, she's the convener of the sponsorship team. She's put together newsletter number 3, and I sent that out as a PDF file by email yesterday. It just came out yesterday morning. But if you don't get email, there's copies that are available in the gathering hall. You can pick up a copy. But in that, there's a section in there under "What do you like about Canada?" And they asked each one in the family what they liked. And Rita, who's the father, Rita, he said this: "I was surprised about how helpful and happy the people are here. People smile a lot." I read that and I thought, he hasn't seen that in his homeland in Syria, and he certainly didn't see it either in Lebanon when they escaped there. And then he also said this: "I also like how Canada respects my religion." His wife Hanani said, "I'm happy that we feel so comfortable here. I'm also happy that I'm able to go to school. There hasn't been that opportunity for her as a woman." Batul, the oldest of the children: "I like the games and the toys. I also like that people respect us." I'll pick that up in just a moment reading on. Nur The second oldest, I like the people and the park. He's talking about Gage Park. Haidar, I like that we can play anywhere safely. Hamza, the youngest, I like riding my bike and playing in the park. And in the newsletter, they go on to explain about how life was very, very difficult for this family in Lebanon. There was little work available. Rita is a carpenter, works in areas, a field like that. There wasn't a lot of money available. The family in Lebanon felt very unwelcome. They were very nervous there. The children were mocked for being Syrian when they went out to play. And they were not even permitted to attend school because the school was for Palestinian refugees. And so it was just a very difficult place for Syrians to live. Every 6 months they had to apply for a new permit in order to stay there. And when they were offered the opportunity to come to Canada, to come to Hamilton, they were given 3 days. They had no idea it was coming. 3 days to make that decision, whether they wanted to accept it. They knew absolutely nothing about Canada. We weren't in their radar. A very good friend of the family warned them not to come to Canada. Don't go to Canada. They're not going to respect your religion. It's going to be difficult for the children. You're not ever going to be able to see your extended family in Lebanon or in Syria again. Rita, though, said, I chose not to listen to my friend. I know now, he said this since he's come here, I know now that my friend was very wrong. He and Hanani made the very brave decision to come to Canada because, hear this, and if your heart, well, mine just, because they say more than anything else, they wanted a good future for their 4 children. And so they said yes. Because there was a church family that was ready to say yes to them. And some of you have had your eyes open to this, the eyes of your heart, a lot more quickly than me to the plans and purposes and heart of God in this. And I'm thankful, for the spiritual push that you've offered and you give. And I see and I weep with joy and gratitude all that you've been able to accomplish inside of like 8-9 months that this has all come together. Right now, I want to just take you quickly to the scriptures and show you how all of this lines up so strongly, deeply. This, what we've been doing is the heart of God. It's the action of God. Liam, I didn't forewarn you about this, but I'm wondering if you could put the scripture lesson, Isaiah 58 and verse 7, or I think it's verse 7, back up on the screen. I'd just like to have that, just scroll through it to verse 7. Good, thank you very much. And, ahead of verse 7, what's being, the question that verse 7 begins to answer, that God is beginning to answer, is what kind of religious practice it is that God desires. And God gives the answer. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Well, the poor wanderer there is not a homeless person as some translations suggest. Rather, that poor wanderer, what it really means is someone who's a stranger, someone who's an alien, someone who's an immigrant, someone who's a refugee, someone who has no resources, little if any resources at all to their name, is helpless in that way. The word stranger also gets used by Jesus in Matthew 25 and verse 35, and Jesus says this, I was a stranger. I was like a poor wanderer, an immigrant, an alien, a refugee, and you invited me in. Xenos is the Greek word, and that's what it means. It simply means a foreigner. And this foreigner is someone who Jesus says, get this, this refugee is someone Jesus says that we are to invite into our homes. And Jesus said that because it came from Isaiah 58 and verse 7. It came from this passage here. He understood. He got the scriptures we call in the Old Testament. And you look in the first part of the verse here where it says the poor wanderer, but then you see that dash, okay? Up on the screen, you see that? You see after that, the poor wanderer's shelter, and then you've got a dash, okay? What follows here now is the synonym of the first half. You know, what's before the dash gets spelled out and what comes after the dash, okay? And you see what it says at the very end? Not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Now, in the culture that was written into, family was everything. It was paramount. And you looked after your own. You looked after your family. The biblical teaching abundantly clear in that. But here's what's being made clear here, and here's what Jesus reinforced in Matthew 25, is that we're to treat the stranger, the poor wanderer, the foreigner, the alien, the immigrant, the refugee, as though they were our own flesh and blood. Like their family. I'm thinking, whoa, really? Yes. That's what God is saying. The heart of God for us, the word of Jesus to us is this, is that the refugee gets the status of family. The refugee gets the status of being Knox Church's own flesh and blood. I made a mention last Sunday of how much enjoyment I was anticipating the children heading back to school, how much enjoyment I got years back. From walking my own children to school when they were in the junior grades, and I was actually talking about that this past week with my two daughters who live in Waterloo, and they're both teachers, elementary and secondary there, and they remember. I can barely remember. You remember me walking you to school when you were in kindergarten and grade one and grade two. Yes, Dad. And not only that, we remember you and the dog walking us to school. That's how it happened. Dad, Rusty, and the girls walked them to school. Well, this past Tuesday, I was thinking, I wonder who was walking, Tuesday morning, I wondered who was walking the three older children in our family to school. I thought, Deb Roberts, I bet you Deb is walking them to school. And sure enough, later that week, I found out she was walking them. Not just on Tuesday it comes out, but like every day, like Tuesday through Friday last week. Deb, come on up. And Deb's just going to talk for us a little bit about what she was experiencing and all of that.
Well, thanks, George, for the invitation to just share some reflections about my experiences. You know, last summer I visited Ramallah and the occupied city of Bethlehem. Many years ago, I was in southern Philippines where there was a lot of guerrilla activity. A few years ago, I was in Mozambique visiting projects and saw a teacher's hut that was probably no larger than that platform there. And on every occasion when I returned to Canada, I was so grateful and so thankful for the blessings that we have. But this year, it was an opportunity for me to see our country through the eyes of refugees, the foreigner and the stranger. And I have been tremendously blessed and reminded again of how blessed we are. So on Tuesday, I arrived at the house, and if you could put the picture up, the fellows were very good to, we took the picture of them sitting on the steps waiting to go to school. Batul, the one in the middle, is placed in grade 3. Noor, the little girl on the left, is placed in grade 2. And Haidar, the little boy on the right, is in grade 1. And as much as young Hamza wanted to go to school with them, he's just not old enough at 3 to start at JK. So this was the first day not only of school in Canada, but their first day in school. We're not sure, they certainly were not in school in Lebanon. We're not certain if Batul may have attended school in Syria. It's quite unclear at this point. Now, George was sharing, and it is in the newsletter, some of the things the family have communicated. All of that communication took place through a translator because their English is exceedingly limited to the point of almost non-existent. So, school from home is about 3/4 of a kilometer. It's a lovely neighborhood. Earlier this summer, we had the opportunity to take a walk, and so they learned about the word and the sign stop, which is very helpful. But how do you explain a four-way stop to people who don't know English and don't understand the rules of the road? So stop, 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 stop. Now we can walk. The next intersection, there's a crossing guard. So now you have to wait to hear the whistle and then make sure you walk between the lines. So a lot of hand gestures as you're trying to explain in English what's going on. But what I note about this family, the children and the parents, is as they're walking along, how happy they are. And as they see people coming, they're limited, hello, thank you, welcome. They haven't got the thank you, welcome sorted out yet, but they're working on it. It's good, it's good. There is so much for them to learn. Books, sentences, words, left to right. When in Arabic, it is right to left. I wondered why the first time, and I've been helping the children during the summer a little bit, trying to prepare them with some workbooks. I wondered why they went to the back of the book first. But not only language, but the whole school culture. So Batul, grade 3, Batul, you need to go in that door, and you need to go, when you hear the bell, you go in that door with the other grade 3s and to grade 8s. Now, Haidar and Noor, when you hear the bell, you go over here and you line up with your teacher. Your teacher's right there, and we had to introduce them to the teacher. On Wednesday when I arrived, they proudly announced to me all their teachers' names. Noor's teacher is Mrs. Smith. Do you know how hard it is to say Smith? Something we don't even think about. From somebody from an Arabic culture and language, TH is exceedingly difficult, but she's very proudly trying her Mrs. Smith. How about standing quietly, because there's music playing at the beginning of the day? What on earth is that all about? How do I tell them I have to go to the bathroom? And where on earth is it? We met with the ESL teacher. There's another woman and I who are working with the children on their schooling, along with some others. And we met with the ESL teacher, and she shared with us about a little Syrian girl she had who never raised her hand the whole time to go to the washroom and ended up with a urinary tract infection because she was so embarrassed and didn't know what to do. Those are the kinds of things that these children have to learn. What about those books? They gave us free books to take home. Do they understand that the librarians want those books back in a couple of weeks? We had to scramble and look for those books, trying to explain the little tag on them. This goes back to school in a couple of weeks, then you get some more. All of these things we take for granted. All of these rich blessings we have, they are so unfamiliar with. There's just a myriad of new expressions and new experiences that they're going to have. But I can tell you that they are eager to learn and they are grateful for the opportunity. So what am I learning while I walk back and forth this week? Now, this isn't a new thought at all, but it has become real life to me this week. I don't know anywhere in the Gospels where Jesus, as he walked along and he met people, said, "I love you." I don't recall him saying that to people. Love wasn't spoken. It was lived. It was expressed through the caring and the meeting of needs of others. Recently, I listened to a former Muslim who has become a follower of Jesus. It was coming to know that God is love and that God loves him, that he came to faith. And that love was expressed not only in words, but primarily through the death of Jesus Christ. God's love is expressed to this family by helping them in these important and very practical ways. And my prayer is that one day they will come to know the God of love. Brenda, as George has mentioned, is the chairman of our committee, and she has spent time with the family. They went off to the beach one day this summer, and they've done other things. I think the Graysleys went for a picnic with them one day at the park, which is great, and I'm not sure if they ended up in your pool or not, but not yet. But there's been others here that are showing kindness. I know Tammy here is involved in our finance, and there are others involved in just helping this family in very, very practical ways, and they so much appreciate it. So if it is at all possible, and particularly for those of you who have children in your family at this age, these children would love to meet other children as well. And so I encourage you to come to the picnic and barbecue next Sunday, just as a way to begin developing relationships with this family. And who knows, you may end up breaking bread at a Syrian dinner, literally breaking the bread, dipping it in some delicious Syrian dishes without a knife, a fork, or a spoon. God bless.
Well, Deb, you mentioned something there that just came home very strongly to me about this Jesus love lived. And just thinking in my own heart at that moment when you said that, that's exactly what's happened with us. The love lived of the Lord to us. We, after all, were spiritual aliens, spiritual strangers, spiritual refugees to our homeland, the homeland of relationship with God revealed to us in Jesus Christ. So why are we doing this? Why this investment, this love to live? Because Jesus says that as I've loved you, all of you, me, spiritual refugees, walk it out, live it out. Love the refugee, love the poor wanderer, these newcomers to Canada. Let's join together, let's pray. Invite the praise team to come up. Lord, thank you for the real gift that you're giving us as a church family to say that this family of six, they're like our flesh and blood, that next Sunday afternoon's family reunion time. And so create those spaces and places for us to be able to go and join with them and smile with them and eat with them and embrace them and be your love lived, your hands and feet in relationship with them. This morning we pray for all those who are lost, those who are wandering. We pray for those who are frightened and anxious. We pray for those who are struggling with addiction and mental illness. We pray for the lonely and the alone. And we ask God, may they know, each one, your reassurance, your comfort. May they find you with that this day. We pray for those who have wandered away, for those who are separated from their families by conflict or distance, for those who are separated really from church relationships because they've been broken. We pray for those who are forgotten. We pray for those who cannot see ahead, those who've given up in despair. God, stretch your hand out, your healing, loving, gracious mercy. Find each of them today. You're the remembering God. We pray for those who do feel forgotten, for those who think they're worthless or unloved, for those who believe that their sins are too great, too large to be forgiven, for those who are convinced that it's impossible for God to even love them. May your love and your grace, may the songs of life to the heart find each of them today. You're the God who comforts, and we pray that you would be with those who are living with loss through the death of loved ones, through acts of hatred and terrorism. We think especially of those who live 15 years on now. And God, we ask you to confront and to convict those who perpetrate such acts of hatred and terrorism. Lord, we pray for your justice and your righteousness to break through, and to you would bring your peace, your shalom throughout our world. You're a loving shepherd. We read that in the Psalms, and we're so grateful for your guidance this morning. We rest in your mercy, we trust in your care, and we know that no matter what may happen, no matter what may come, even in our own lives, Jesus, you are the one who loves us. You are the one who redeems us. Find us, Lord God, through this day and into this week with your beauty and your joy. Find us with your strength and your help. Lord, today, even in the remaining moments of this service and the time we share together in the gathering hall, find us, and find us every day. Open our hearts. As you knock on the door, help us to open that door. Strength to open that door to let you come in. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.